Okay. So beginning with Ezra Hashem Chavis Halvavis Sha'ar Hakniyah. Kniyah means submission. We might use the word anova as a synonym. And as we'll see, we call it humility. We'll see exactly how the Chavis Halvavis frames it. This is not just a general need of being humble, but as we're going to see, like with many of the other things we've been learning in this Sefer, it's another dynamic in our relationship with Hashem. Meaning, it's not just a person should be humble in general. That is supposed to be an offshoot of a very distinct dynamic in our relationship with Hashem. Let's see. So let's begin. Sha'a Kniyah, we're in the psicha, in the preface to the Sha'a. We will now be discussing the matter of our obligation to be submissive before Hashem, to be humbled before Hashem. Here's our preface. Our previous discussion, which we spent a lot of time on before Yom Tov, about making sure that our efforts in avodas Hashem are focused exclusively on Hashem, right? That we're only anything pious that we're doing, any aspects of avodas Hashem that we're involved in are solely for Him. And we discussed at length the various other things that can get mixed in and ruin that wholehearted focus. And many of them revolved around a sense of ego in all kinds of different ways. Want to make an impression on others, want to please others, etc. Your pride, a person's pride, a person's ego, when it comes to his pious actions, when it comes to his mitzvahs, since that is the most easiest, destructive force to our mitzvahs. That's the main thing that ruins our mitzvahs. I mean, if a person is not doing mitzvahs, he has other problems. But a person who's doing mitzvahs, what is the main drain on those mitzvahs that compromises them, that takes down their value? I apologize. Is this? It's gaiva. It's pride. It's the pride of the mitzvahs, right? It's that the ego aspect. So, and since it really causes ruination to a person's mitzvahs, so I determined that the next most important thing that we have to talk about, we have to talk about what will distance a person from that gaiva, and that is the midah of kniyah, of feeling submissive, of feeling humble. And he says, and it's not just in order to maintain the purity of our actions, but it's an end in itself. The essence of being a servant is submissiveness, right? Is submissiveness is lowering your head, humbling yourself. That's the essence of being a servant. That's another reason why we want to gain this smida. And that is how we can distinguish an eved from a person who considers himself a master. Okay, so I'm skipping a little bit. And he tells us, so we're going to have 10 chapters on the subject, discussing the following. We're going to have 10 chapters, each discussing another essay on the subject of kniyah. Number one is, what exactly is the smid of kniyah? Hasheni, number two is, The kama chalakim techalik. There are a number of different types of kaniyah. Some are desired, some are dafka not. We'll see. Ashlishi b'matia kaniyah. How does it express himself, itself? Harvi be'ezeinin tzorich lisnaid. How is it correctly applied? That's number four. Chamishi. Number five is ech oifnei kanoisa. How do we go about attaining this meaning? Hashishi. B'teichen ha-minig she'tzorich lisnaid by ha-nichna. What in practice will be the conduct of a person who has this mid of kniyah? What will it look like in practice? Hashvi, number seven is matay tochen kniyah min anichna or masay loy titochen. When will it be appropriately expressed and when not? Okay. Sorry, just a minute. Wait 1 minute. I'm sorry. I just lost my place. Okay. Hashmini shenevar imakniyah smuchel amidas ateves smuchesla. Number eight, he says we're going to have a discussion on whether kniyah is a cause for other good midas or whether you need other good midas to be in place in order to get to kniyah. Okay. Hachi. Number nine is, we'll discuss, have a discussion on the subject of whether gaiva and kniyah can actually come together. And number 10 will be, what do you stand to gain through this midah of kniyah, spiritually and materially? Okay. So now let's actually start. Perek Aleph. What is kniyah? Al hakniyah hi, kniyah is shiflus hanefesh, ushchoicha. A person lowering himself, lowering his ego, lowering his head, umiut erka etzla, and having a low opinion of himself. Now we'll have to explain this. I have to put this into perspective. Chavis Halvavis is going to tell us soon that this doesn't mean that you simply have no idea who you are, what your abilities are. It means putting yourself into a certain perspective, recognizing your strengths, recognizing your greatness, and yet creating a certain perspective. We'll see. Whatever the case is, we see that he's saying here, it's about lowering yourself. It's not about a person who naturally just has very low self-esteem. A person who gains the ability to lower himself. We'll see. But when a person gains this midah, it will manifest outwardly. How will it manifest outwardly? Number one is, a person will be more soft-spoken if he's a nichna. He'll be more soft-spoken. He'll be less putting himself out there. Okay? Also, his anger will always be more toned down. Why? Because often anger comes from, how dare you come against, up against my ego. Coming up against my ego causes an explosion. But when I really don't think that highly of myself, when I'm not on a high horse, someone offended me. No, it's my age. We'll see. How terrible of a crime is that? So it's toned down. Also, even when a person has a chance to get back at the other person, it's less urgent, right? Again, when your ego is very, very, very developed, right? So any poke to the ego brings about a response and you consider it punishable by the worst of punishments. But this person, someone offended me, how bad is that already? Doesn't have that urgent sense to avenge himself. Indeed, it was said about one of the kings, that there was a person who had committed some sort of infraction against him, apparently a personal, wronged him personally. And they bought the whip to flog him with. He said, Chai Hashem, like swore, He said, "Lulei ches kas kasi alecha, if I wasn't so angry at you, I would actually punish you severely. But because I'm so angry at you, I'm not. You forgave him." Now, I think I know what this is referring to, but let's see. And they said about this king, and he would say, I don't know of a sin that outweighs my humility. Meaning as follows. I have a guess of who he's referring to. What's this? He's obviously a Jewish king. Chai Hashem, right? He's swore by Hashem. Who's this referring to? Which I think he's alluding to David HaMelech. It seems pretty clear to me that he's alluding to David HaMelech with the famous incident of Shimi ben Gera. David HaMelech was at the lowest point of his life, arguably. Possibly the lowest point of his life. When Avshalom rebelled against him and banished him from Yerushalayim. Now, we know this story. We know that after a short time, it was reinstated. So we're not overly alarmed at Avshalom's rebellion. But at the time, we have to realize it was a very serious business. And when David was fleeing from Yerushalayim, as far as he was concerned, this was likely to be the last time he would be in Yerushalayim. It was very likely that he was headed for it. This was conclusive. Avshalom took the throne in a very popular revolt. And now, David lost the throne conclusively and is being banished from Yerushalayim in disgrace. Why? If you ask people then, they knew why. Because of the story of Bathsheba. This was another story of a great man who had committed a sin and lost favor with Hashem. It happened with Shaul, it happened with others, right? And now, he was being banished in disgrace from Yerushalayim because of his sin forever, the way it could be perceived then. And at this time, when David is in this state of losing everything he had and in terrible disgrace, running away from Yerushalayim, Shimi ben Gera came and added insult to injury. He threw stones at David and called him all kinds of terrible names. But not just general epithets. These were things that were very personally aimed at David HaMelech. They hurt. They cut into him. And one of David's men, Avishai ben Tsruya, wanted to go kill Shimi ben Gera as a Moira ben Malchus, as a rebel. Had the right to do that. That was actually the din. David HaMelech said, no, don't do it. This is Hashem speaking through his mouth. Chazal tell us that that was one of the greatest achievements of David's life. This was at that moment that David was catapulted to the level of regular Revi Bamerkava. David HaMelech was an ambitious man. He told Hashem, he said, David. The person comes and says, I want to be up there with the others. Hashem said they withstood very, very tough nisyonos. So I can too. So this was the nice of the moment when he actually made it to that level. Put himself up there with what he might have thought was the lowest point of his story was what catapulted him to the highest place. And I am guessing that this is what the Chodesh Halavos is referring to when he's talking about the king who was terribly offended, and they brought him the whip, right? He's talking obviously a little metaphorically. They brought him the whip, meaning that he was in position to punish him. And he said, no, I don't want to. And the end here, there's two different gesoids here. And I actually connect with the gesoid that seems less, the other one seems more straightforward. I don't know of a sin that outweighs my humility. Meaning David was saying as follows. He was saying, this person offended me terribly now, really, really hurt me. And I have the right, the prerogative to punish him severely. And he deserves it. He deserves it. Yet he said, for me, this is an opportunity. I'm going to be selfish now. And I'm going to utilize this opportunity. As bad as his sin was, I stand to gain more by using it as an opportunity to enhance my anova. And therefore, I'm going to let it go by. I'm going to let it go, but I'm not going to do anything. What about the obligation for a king to assert his authority? David HaMelech put that off for after his death. He instructed Shlomo HaMelech after he was nifter, catch up with Shimei ben Gera. But David HaMelech decided, you know what? I have the right to kill him. He should be killed. But you know what? I'm going to be selfish. And I'm going to utilize this as an opportunity to overcome my natural feelings of anger, of hurt, and let it go. And this is the example that the Chovas HaLevavos is giving here, if my guess is correct, of Kniyah, of one of the effects of Kniyah. One of the effects of Kniyah. That a person lowers his head and said, someone hurt me, someone offended me. No, it's not as big a sin as I would like to think, because I'm not all that great. Okay, so we've just laid down the concept in general. And I'll just briefly add some perspective here, that again, as we'll see as we're going through the Shaar, this is not just about being humble in general, but it's being humble because of your dynamic with Hashem. Realizing that I'm in Hashem's presence, I feel humbled no matter how great I am. It doesn't mean saying I'm just a nobody and denying any strengths that you have. We'll see momentarily. That's not necessarily a maila. It's about feeling that in the presence of Hashem, I have no choice but to be humbled. That's why Anava is such a great madrega, because it's a madrega of keen awareness of Hashem, not just in a general way to say, I'm nothing. Okay, we'll see, Bezos Hashem. Thank you.